The 88,000 or so people served by the City of Logan's sewage treatment plant produce over 12 million gallons of wastewater a day. This is all the water that enters the city sewer system, not just from every toilet in the region, but also washing machines, showers, and kitchen sinks.
So, as all that water collects throughout the different cities, it all ends up coming here to these two large pipes.
Jim Harps is Logan's wastewater treatment manager. He took me on a tour of the whole system, from raw sewage to where the water goes back into the natural system.
And so at this point, you know, the characteristics of the water is, you know, it's pretty brown. As we bring tours in here, kids are always pointing out the chunks of poop going by.
Yeah.
You occasionally see Fruit Loops or paper products going by.
Cigarette butts.
Cigarette butts, corn. I mean, you know, some of that stuff was maybe ingested. Some of it's going down garbage disposals as well. And so, but it's always kind of fun. It's kind of fun to pause and take a look and see what raw wastewater looks like.
I kept waiting for the part of the tour where we went inside a plant, the wastewater treatment plant. But most of Logan's system consists of man-made ponds called sewage lagoons and man-made wetlands called polishing ponds, which I guess is where the water gets so clean it shines. After that, the water can be used for irrigation, but most of it eventually flows into the Bear River at Cutler Reservoir, where a monitoring station shows that it still has way too much ammonia and phosphorus to be considered clean river water. And with their growing population, the city of Logan won't be able to meet state standards without upping its sewage treatment game. Issa Hamoud is the director of Logan's environmental department. I asked him about the changes in standards and how the city is going to keep up.
2004, the state started doing total maximum daily loading, which is how much phosphorus we discharge every day into the receiving water, which is Cutler Reservoir in this case. And the study was completed right around 2008, and 2010 the state adopted a ruling that we need to reduce about 60 to 64% of the amount of phosphorus we discharge into the Cutler Reservoir.
The sewage lagoons and their microorganisms are really efficient at cleaning up standard pollutants, especially the kinds of things that can make you sick. But naturally occurring nutrients like phosphorus and ammonia coming through the system are harder to get rid of, and they are increasing with the area's population growth. That, combined with new state standards that lower the acceptable amounts of these nutrients, means that Logan needs to get rid of its lagoons in order to keep up.
So lagoons work fine in a smaller community. In fact, in a warmer climate, they even serve better than in this climate. So we've enjoyed the low-cost system for years. They can still serve well if it was not the change in water quality, the significant change in water quality. The new facility capacity would be 18 million gallons a day. But there are days we receive a lot more than 18 million gallons a day, especially in the wet season of the year. For that reason, we're going to keep one or two cells of the lagoons to hold water in a time of a high flow. It is not intended to treat water through the lagoons anymore.
People are weirdly attached to Logan's sewage lagoons. Jim Harps remembers looking down from the Utah State University campus where he was studying public health and being intensely curious about the glimmering quilt squares of water in the middle of the valley floor. Now he manages the lagoons, which don't smell as bad as you'd think, and they're covered with birds, mostly seagulls, but there are some ducks, geese, and swans too.
These are about 9 feet deep right now, the water level. The bottom foot and a half is a layer of sludge that has formed. And so, but yeah,
right.
we can drive through and take a look.
Let's go chase some seagulls.
Yeah, I always tell all of our tours that the seagulls are trained to move, do not swerve, and so don't want anyone in the drink.
The tour of the lagoons mostly happens inside the heated cab of a city-issued truck. We drive along the causeway that separates the lagoons from each other. At the end of the series of lagoons, the water gets injected with some chlorine that kills any remaining nasty bugs.
Okay, so the water leaves the lagoons, it has about a 2 mile trip out towards Benson to our polishing wetlands. at that point the water is available to the farmers along that canal, as long as it's during irrigation season. They have a designated irrigation season that's dictated by our permit from the state of Utah, though. So all the water that comes down that canal goes into this little pond over here, inlet pond. Let's drive up here. This is our inlet pond. So any water that's not used for irrigation or everything during the winter comes here to the storage pond. And at this point, we can either push the water into the wetland cells themselves or over to those storage ponds and store that water for later.
The polishing ponds are beautiful. Cattails and bulrushes are the filters of choice here, and if it weren't for the perfectly straight raised dike we're driving on, I don't know that I would be able to tell this was a man-made wetland.
I would love to take a canoe out in here.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
So, you know, this time of year we get quite a bit of waterfowl here in the wetlands and then over in our storage ponds also. But we typically have birds and wildlife here year-round, which is always interesting. We actually have a fox that lives down here. I've seen him once or twice, actually. We do have a lot of muskrats. But yeah, you come in the summer, and we get a lot of songbirds, actually, in here as well. So on a summer day, it's actually kind of neat just to be out here and just listen. Yeah, this is our final gate, our discharge gate. At this point, we monitor our flow again. We take all the same samples we do at the headworks and at the last cell of the lagoons as well. That way we're knowing how effectively we are removing everything. And so, yeah, it's a pretty fun process, I think.
So, how long ago would I have needed to flush my toilet to see the water come out right here?
That's a great question. I guess depending on where you were when you flushed, and how long it took to get to the headworks, plus 90 days, in theory. And then, you add the time the water conveys from the lagoons to the wetlands and going through the wetlands. And it could be, you know, 6-7 months, potentially. Like I said, you know, the lagoons work really well on those conventional pollutants most of the year. You're pretty much year-round. I mean, we get a few algae blooms that kind of mess things up in the summer, but for the most part, they work quite effectively. It's just those new nutrient criteria that we are struggling at. That's what's killing us at this point. A steamy lagoon,
a tropical moon. Construction on whatever will end up replacing Logan's sewage lagoons is scheduled to begin in 2017. For The Source, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A sleepy lagoon and two hearts in tune in some lullaby. The fireflies gleam, reflects in the stream, they sparkle and shimmer.